It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 17th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you're a lover of the 40 or 60 watt incandescent light bulb, maybe think about stocking up. Starting January 1st, they'll be phased out as part of the Energy Independence and Security Act signed back in 2007. It was signed by President George W. Bush. The idea is for us to replace them with new, more efficient LED bulbs. CNET's Lindsay Turrentine says the good news is that the bulbs of the future, they're smarter, they'll have a much longer lifespan, and they'll save a ton of energy.
Some estimates say that by doing this, we're saving the equivalent to the yearly output of 800,000 cars.
What bulbs should we be buying as we're wandering through a giant Home Depot and muttering about the government invading our lighting space?
One of the frustrations will be that you have to make a lot of choices. Not only do they have all different kinds of light, and you can find out about that on the lighting facts section of the box. There's sort of a nutritional information section on every box called lighting facts.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll tell you how warm the light is and a lot of other interesting details. But you can even, if you want to spend a lot of money, like $200, you can get these smart lighting LED systems where you can actually change the color using an app.
What else is interesting about this to you?
Well, it's interesting because everybody has lights. So when you go into something like a Home Depot and you stare at the aisle and there are floor-to-ceiling shelves of different types of bulbs, there's a lot of thought that goes into that. So if you do the thinking, you could have, you know, you treat your light bulb kind of like you treat your lawnmower, which is that you buy one and then you have it for 10 years. You don't have to think about it again.
Lindsay Turrentine, Editor-in-Chief of Reviews at CNET. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A federal judge has ruled this week that the NSA's collection of user data like cell phone records may be unconstitutional. U.S. District Court Judge Richard Leon stopped short of allowing an injunction to bar the government from continuing to collect the data, but the ruling could set the stage for further legal challenges against the U.S. government's digital surveillance. Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please consider making a tax-deductible gift in any amount to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. All this week, we're talking about the digital currency Bitcoin. Yesterday, our friend at Harvard, Jonathan Zittrain, told us that, like most forms of currency, it's a massive hallucination we all agree upon. But it's also a techie idea, a network where computers with a shared record of transactions can trade long strings of letters and numbers to keep track of who has what. Whether that description sounds simplistic or overly complicated, there's a company designed to make sure we don't ever have to think about it, a Silicon Valley startup called Coinbase. Brian Armstrong is co-founder and CEO of Coinbase. Hello, Brian.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. So I think of you a little bit like a PayPal for Bitcoin in a way. You are trying to connect merchants and consumers. You're also providing a way for people to store money online. Tell me about the different products you're building and tell me if it's a challenge for you.
Yeah, so I think that's fair to call us something like the PayPal of Bitcoin. And you correctly identify that we are serving three completely different segments of the Bitcoin market. We have a consumer wallet, we have merchant services helping businesses accept Bitcoin, and we also have a developer platform that 3,000 developers have built apps on it. So yes, it's a challenge, but many parts of the Bitcoin ecosystem work better when you have multiple parties all talking together.
Your effort is also partly about letting people cash out, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, we allow people to both buy and sell Bitcoin on Coinbase. You know, we're still the only company offering it, essentially, where people can connect any bank account in the U.S. and they can convert dollars into and out of Bitcoin.
Are you concerned at all that if Bitcoin truly goes legit, if it's recognized and regulated, we'll see it develop some of the same kind of baggage it's supposed to be disrupting, like credit card style service charges and things like that?
So I think that's something you always have to watch out for, but I don't think it will ever have the same characteristics of proprietary payment networks like credit cards or wires or bank transfers before it. And the reason is that it's fundamentally an open system. So let's look at email as an example. If you ever didn't like your particular email provider that you were using, you could switch to another one. And economists might call that low switching costs, but the net effect to consumers is that the price of those services is always has a downward pressure on it. It's a competitive market because the underlying platform beneath it is open and anyone can participate on it.
What's something that you can tell me about Bitcoin that nobody's heard from you yet?
Sure. Well, we've been thinking about this recently, but there's a lot of people who have gotten in early on Bitcoin, right? They might have been tech early adopters or people who are particularly interested in the currency for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a massive amount of wealth generated amongst people who were early into the Bitcoin ecosystem. What happens when a sort of techie nerd segment of society, for lack of a better word, has a massive increase in wealth in the next 5 to 10 years? What does that mean for public policy or education or government or anything? And I'm sure there'll be some good things. Hopefully, I think many good things. I'm sure some people have fears about that too. And that's going to be a really interesting trend.
Brian Armstrong is the co-founder and CEO of the company Coinbase. Brian, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, Coinbase is getting big money in venture capital funding these days. Another $25 million announced just last week. Venture capitalists like Coinbase because they think it might be the company to bring the use of Bitcoin from the nerds to the rest of us. You can catch more of our series on Bitcoin. Just head over to our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.